Mosiah chapter 8. The complete story of the people of Limhi is told to Ammon in this first section, or it's said that it's told to him, and then then Ammon tells the people of everything that has happened in Zarahemla. After doing this, then Limhi brings some plates, which were the plates of ether, that they have found, and asks Ammon if he can translate. And the reason he wants them translated, he says, because he wants to know the cause of the destruction of these people, and he can see that that's a great value, that to know why someone, a people is destroyed, gives them obviously the things to look for, the things to avoid, so that their people aren't destroyed. Well, notice that you therefore have to immediately have the belief that you can be destroyed, and that the Lord will allow you to be completely wiped out. Well, obviously today we don't even believe that. We believe that we're here to stay, and that the Lord would never destroy us, and that we're a mighty nation, and the Lord has built up this mighty nation, and it would sound a lot like the people of Ammonihah. But so therefore, again, that's kind of part of being humbled, meaning that that without the Lord, we would be destroyed. And so we want to make sure that we believe that that if we are following the Lord, that the devil is ever trying to destroy us. And so we want to be aware of everything we're to do so that this destruction does not come upon us. But again, as I point out today, we don't believe in that destruction. We have no fear of it, and our leaders tell us nothing about it or spark us up to even believe that it could come about. Well, Ammon then says that Mosiah is a seer and can translate, and then Limhi says, well, a seer is greater than a prophet, and we have to note here that Mosiah is a seer and he's going to be given these plates to translate. Well, notice also that Mosiah's grandfather was given that rock to translate, and also that Joseph Smith was given other things like the Pearl of Great Price. And so we ask ourselves, today, why do these men, these 15 men that at the top of the church, why do they claim to be seers, and yet they do not see, and they're not translating anything, and nothing is brought forth, throughout, we're constantly being brought records that are claimed to be history and so forth, and why can't these men do something with them? And we have the Dead Sea Scrolls come forth, and no one in the church today is acting as a seer, but they do love the great glory of running around claiming to be a seer and having that great mantle put upon them so that they can be held up above other men. As we study this, in 16 it says that being a seer is the greatest gift. This is the gift of God. It's not something that we administratively bestow upon people to give them honor, and it doesn't come by the voice of the members raising their hands. It comes as a gift of God, and as does being a prophet and as does being a revelator. These are things that are directly from God, and no man has a right to claim it through any administrative act. He has to, or position given in any organization, he has to receive it from God, and then he has to, in fact, prove that he has it through having it properly function, meaning he has to prophesy and it come about, he has to reveal and have the Spirit testify to the people that what he's revealed is the Word of God, and he has to see or translate. And this is the requirements. Well, we learn that it's not just these men that are the problems why we don't have seers. We find it's because the people today really don't want it. I mean, as it says in verses 17 through 18, that the people of Limhi wanted this knowledge, and they knew that the things that are brought forth by seers are of great worth unto man. But men today, they, as it says in verse 20, unfortunately, man today, and mostly all man, they are blind, and that they do not seek wisdom, meaning they're given the Book of Mormon. Do they look through the Book of Mormon and try and find out what the spiritual content is, or do they just find out at best when they listen to a commentary, all they want to hear is what the temporal content is, or meaning that they, what are the times like when this record was going on, and they study all the things there, but they don't study what the spiritual content is or what there is in there that can really help them and men of their day, and how they can really use that scripture to change their government, their business, their church, their their everything to follow the Lord and do it according to the commandments given by the Lord in Scripture and given by the Spirit. But again, we're given great commandments in Scripture. In fact, almost all things are laid out for us, and at least about how to organize things in general for the people. But do we study that and believe that? No. Do we think there's any worth in there? Of course not. We would never consider forming our government, as said here in the Book of Mormon, so we think it is not of value. And that's what's sad about men, is they do not today or in most of the times believe that there's any value in it. In fact, as it finally says in verse 20, it says, neither do they, meaning neither do men, desire that he should rule over them. And again, meaning that they do not desire that Christ should rule over them. And they don't want him to be their boss. They don't seek him to be in charge of them. They don't seek him to be, again, their provider, protector, and progressor. They don't seek him to be governing everything in their life. They really don't want that. They really want the world, and they kind of want Christ off to the side. And so then we have to ask ourselves, do we want Christ in charge right now? Do we want our government and all our business? And would you be happy to see the government destroyed, the army destroyed, all the corporations and business and everything laid to waste, everything wiped out, so that then Christ would come and then we would have to go out and labor with our own hands to rebuild everything, but when we rebuild it, Christ would be in charge? Of course not. Everyone loves the world as it is, and they like being in it, and they like having some things. When they think of the millennium, they think of Christ coming, and they get to still keep doing what they want, but just, you know, some of the crime level to go down, and maybe to be a little more prosperous and stuff. They don't think of really wanting Christ here and having the world reordered to his way, and say, this is a wicked world and needs to be wiped out and rebuilt for in Christ's manner, and I'm willing to do that now, and I'm willing to give up everything in this world now to have it under Christ. People don't think that way, and because they don't think that way, obviously Christ is not coming for the second time, because they don't want him here. They don't really truly want Christ to come, and they don't really look forward to the second coming, which means that's what we're to look forward to, just like those before Christ looked for him coming the first time, and they were constantly told to do that. Well, we're not even constantly told by the leaders of church or anyone today that to keep looking forward to the second coming. That's our goal. And what is the key to the second coming? We have to build a place for him to come to, meaning we have to build the kingdom of God, a terrestrial portion of the earth on earth for him to return to. And that is a separate portion, separated from the world. But the fact is, we really don't want that that world. We really don't want to separate from the world right now. Again, so I will say that we do not desire that he should rule over us.